Many things are measured by their strength. If you have fishing line, you want to know what the test is. Will it catch a 5-pound bass or a 10-pound bass or a 20-pound catfish? You want to test its strength. If you have a garbage bag, you want to know when it is smack dab full, is it going to carry and is it going to bust a hole because it's not strong enough? When they were building this building, they were putting these humongous steel beams. We wanted to know, was it strong enough to hold all of this together when the storms come rolling through? Many things are measured by their strength. Most football teams, even high school teams today, have what is known as a strength and conditioning coach. Why? Because they want to make their players strong. Psalm 28 verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Exodus chapter 15 verse 2 says, "The Lord is my strength and he is my song." So we come to Nehemiah chapter 8. Here's the background. The Israelites have been freed from Babylon, where they've been in exile for 70 years. They've come back and they've rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. They gathered there at the water gate, and Ezra is reading the scriptures. And as he is just reading God's word, they start to weep. And they're not weeping a little bit. They are weeping uncontrollably over their sin. Ezra and Nehemiah, after their weeping, after their repentance, after their mourning, all in one day, he says, "Hey guys, you gotta stop crying. This is the first day of atonement. This is not a time to be sad. It's a time to pull out your hanky and to be joyful." That is the context. Look at Nehemiah 8, verse 10. He said, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry." And then he said this last phrase that I want you to get today: "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now here's what happened. Inside the walls of that city soon arose joy, arose laughter, arose feasting and parting as a healing balm just went over their 70 years of captivity. This morning, just for a few moments, I want to talk to you about three truths that will change your outlook on your situations and your problems and your circumstances. So you say, "Well, it's tough." Well, it's difficult. Three truths that will change your outlook on your circumstances. Sermon entitled, we just sang it, "I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." You ready? Here's the first truth. The portrait of joy. For the joy, J-O-Y, of the Lord is your strength. Christianity is to be nothing less than a festival of joy. The word joy and joyful is mentioned 250 times in the Bible. The word rejoice is used 200 times in the Bible. A joyless Christian is a slander, is a shame to the name of Christ. If you go around here and you're just negative and critical and cynical, and I know the Lord Jesus, those two things, they just don't go together. Joy rejuvenates us. Joy re-energizes us. We live in a generation, unfortunately, that's constantly seeking happiness. You go to the bar. What do they have between 5 and 7? I wouldn't know because I don't go to the bar, but I'm told they have happy hour. But the people that leave there, they're not happy. You say, preacher, what's the difference between happiness and joy? Happiness depends upon what happens to you. If your hap is good, then you're happy. If your hap is bad, then you're unhappy. When you put your trust in happiness, you become a victim of circumstances. So when things are going great, woohoo, I'm happy. But when things are going horrible, I'm in the dumps. I'm not talking today about happiness. I'm talking about something much deeper. It's joy. Happiness, someone has said, is like a cosmetic, where joy is like character. Happiness comes from outside circumstances. Joy comes within you from your inner man. Happiness meets your surface needs. Joy meets your deepest needs. Happiness is like a thermometer. It registers the conditions. Joy is like a thermostat. It regulates the condition. Happiness disappears in times of suffering. Joy intensifies in times of suffering. Remember Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, not happiness, joy that was set before him, endured the cross. It wasn't happiness. It was joy of seeing you come to know him and come into his family. So number one, the portrait of joy. It is from Jesus, as we're getting ready to see, but it's deep. It resides within you. It's the inner man. It's not happiness. Portrait of joy. Secondly, look at the person of joy. The joy of the Lord. Notice in your Bibles, Lord is all caps. It's talking about Jehovah God. Joy is pure and uplifting because it originates in God Almighty. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, people have searched for happiness in cravings, in things, in stuff. We live in a cursed and a fallen world that is fundamentally unhappy. That's why they go drink the alcohol. That's why they go and smoke the pot. That's why they're looking for all of this stuff, because there's a hole in their life and they're unhappy. The world thinks that happiness comes from the stuff. Well, if I'll get this new house, I'll be happy. No, you won't. If I can just get this new car, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. If I could get that guy, then I would be happy. No, you wouldn't. It doesn't come from stuff. It doesn't come from titles. Well, if I could attain that position, nope, nope. It doesn't come from certain groups. Well, if I could just get into that group or that society or that club. Happiness doesn't come from titles. It doesn't come from stuff. It doesn't come from friends or groups. The world thinks happiness comes from the externals. Now, here's the difference in joy. God is joyful within himself. God needs absolutely nothing outside of himself to be joyful. Where do we get joy? The joy of the Lord. The externals are great. We like the stuff. We like the friends. We'll even take the titles. But that's not where our joy comes from. Our joy comes from the Lord. Thomas Aquinas, one of the founding church leaders, said this: God is happiness by his essence. He is happy not by acquisition or participation of something else, but by his essence. On the other hand, men are happy by participation or by acquisition. If I have that, then I'll be happy. The joy of the Lord. Say, Pastor, how do I get it? Ever been around a guy or a lady who had put on, the guy had put on a lot of cologne, or the lady had put on a lot of perfume? Ever been anybody in here that's been around somebody like that? Come on, I need to see some hands. All of you. Well, here's what happens. When you are in their presence, when you are close to them, you're going to pick up their odors. Now, in this situation, it's a good odor. You're going to pick up their smells. You're going to pick up their cologne. You're going to pick up their perfume. You have access to God's joy when you are close to God through Jesus. Jesus was a person whose life was filled with incredible joy. Now, the devil has sold the world a lie and said, oh, God, he's mad, he's mean. No, he's not. He's joyful. When Jesus was here, he was the life of a party. He loved having friends together. He loved the parties. He would go and hang out with publicans and sinners, I think, because sometimes the religious crowd were fuddy-duds. Jesus, the first miracle he ever did was at a wedding. It was at a feast. It was at a party. Joy, don't miss this, is only found in God, and we know God through the person of Jesus. So preacher, where do you get off on saying that? John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus didn't come to bring us death. He came to bring us life. He came to bring us joy, and that his joy would remain inside of us. Now imagine this, and forgive me for dating myself. Imagine if you had on the inside of you the golf ability that Tiger Woods has. He says, hey, Neil Jackson, I'm going to give you, inside of you, my golf ability. What would I be able to do? Play some pretty good golf. Hey, imagine if you had inside your head the brains of an Elon Musk or a Bill Gates. You would be a lot smarter in worldly wisdom. Jesus says, I'm not giving you golf ability. And I'm not giving you worldly wisdom. I'm giving you my joy. John 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You say, what does this look like? Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are mistreated. They're beaten unjustly, probably bones broken. They're definitely bloody. They're thrown into the inner prison. Now, this is the time, if the preacher's not around, you're thinking bad words. You're grumbling, your complaining is not fair, it's not right. Where's my lawyer? Because I'm going to sue. What were they doing? Paul and Silas, Acts 17 tells us, they were singing praises at midnight. Understand this. Joy is not natural. It's supernatural. And when you're close to Jesus, his fragrance rubs off on you. His mode of operation rubs off on you. So even when you have the flat tire, or even when the bank account's empty, or even when the kids aren't behaving, you still are steady with the peace and the joy of God. Number two, not only the portrait of joy, the person of joy. You get it not by buying it at Walmart. You get it not by ordering it from Amazon. This joy, you get it by getting close to Jesus himself. Number three, and let me try to bring it all together. The promise of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy comes from a deep connection with God through Jesus. Not a fleeting happiness, but a lasting state of well-being, of contentment. Even during the hard times, even during the challenging times, I'm close to Jesus, and I'm going to be just all right. The joy of the Lord, joy of the Lord, is your strength. If you were to look up that word strength every time it's mentioned in the Bible, many times it's translated as refuge or fortress, and sometimes protection. Isaiah 25, verse 4, they're going to put it on the screen. God is, for thou hast been strength to the poor, a refuge to the poor, a fortress to the poor, a strength, a refuge, a fortress to the needy in his distress. Same word. A refuge from the storm, a strength from the storm, a protection from the storm. A shadow from the heat, a shade from the heat, a refuge from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. That's what our God is. Listen, the joy of the Lord is your refuge. You staying close to God, you pick up his mannerisms. You pick up his fragrance. You pick up his disposition. So you're not so worried about the circumstances because you know your God has it and it's all going to be all right. The joy of the Lord, it protects us. It shields us in times of testing. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, my question for you today, how strong are you? And the way we know it is when the car tears up, are you crying or are you praying? When you get the dismissal at your job, are you falling to pieces or are you falling on your knees? The joy of the Lord. I'm close to the Lord and I'm delighting in the Lord and he is my source of everything. So therefore, nothing is going to rattle me. That's what it means. The joy of the Lord keeps me strong. Here's the key. When we stay close to God, his strength fills us with his joy to handle every circumstance and every situation. Let me give you a situation that you totally get. But it's a long ways away. All right, you ready? I'm going to give you a situation every person's going to get, but it's a long ways away. Imagine it's 5 degrees outside. You get it, but it's a long ways away. It's Alaska or somewhere. Definitely not here, definitely not today. What are you going to do? You're going to stand in front of that fireplace, and you're going to get close to that fireplace as you can. Or that heater, that old gas heater you got, that puts off that blazing heat. It's 5 degrees and it's freezing outside. That's the joy of the Lord. You stay close to Jesus. He gives you his joy. He gives you his perspective. You get his confidence, so you're not worried so much about circumstances in insignificant problems. You say, preacher, I don't know if I agree with you. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Thou wilt show me the victorious life. Where is the victorious life? In thy presence is fullness of joy. You stay close to that heater. Jesus, and you're going to have joy. Because his fragrance is going to rub off on you. His disposition is going to rub off on you. His outlook is going to rub off on you. So you're not walking around discouraged, defeated. Oh, the world's fallen. Politics is falling apart. Taxes are going up. Car prices are going up. Do you know what a hamburger costs now? Oh, we're going to starve. Look at all of us. None of us in this room are starving. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Israelites have been ravaged by war, weakened by their insecurities. We're told that their strength was not in their military might. Their strength was not in their chariots. Their strength was not in their wall that they had just finished building. Their strength was in their joy, their dependence, their affection upon the Lord. Listen, here's my question. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, how strong are you? What are you trusting in? Some of you are trusting in that 401k. What happens when the stock market has a hiccup and goes way down? Are you calling the stockbroker? We got to do something. Or are you getting on your knees saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. The joy of the Lord, where you delight in Him. He's your strength. He's your refuge. He's your protection. You don't have to be worried about stock markets or about the cost of hamburgers at McDonald's or about flat tires because your God has this. The strength you need for life. The strength you need for pain. The strength you need for loneliness. The strength you need for raising your kids is the joy of the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. Getting His fragrance. Getting His outlook. Now listen, it doesn't come natural because it's not natural. It's supernatural. And it takes practice. Now let me get in your business. Some of you have been practicing worrying since 9 months before you arrived here on planet Earth. You were worrying in your mother's womb. Am I ever going to get out of this dark place? You have been worrying, 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 worrying. This doesn't come natural. It's supernatural. And it takes practice. So here's your assignment. I would say tomorrow morning, but this afternoon, when you're on your way home and it's storming and it's raining, you say, I don't know if we're going to get there. Lord, I'm trusting you. You're going to protect us. We're not going to do anything foolish, but I'm trusting you. Every situation, Philippians says, everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Every situation, instead of going and looking from the earthly perspective, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Delight in God. God, I remember you helped me a year ago in that situation. I remember you helped us 5 years ago when we didn't think we were going to get through. Hey, and 12 years ago when we thought the rug was pulled out in front of us, you helped us. We're delighting in you. And we're going to know you're going to get us through this situation as well. Person suffering physically who's filled with joy, it's a proven fact, survives far better than the person who is suffering physically that's discouraged, depressed, and defeated. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. Now let me give you a challenge. I already gave you one. When the worries come, pray. Here's the second challenge. Joy is contagious. You pick the most cantankerous, grouchy person in this room, and we can bring an 18-month-old or a 12-month-old grandbaby in front of them, and they'll start cooing. They'll say, Papa or Grammy, and that old sourpuss grouch will start smiling. This old, the world's fallen, and it was a whole lot better in the good old days, and this is not the good old. Then the grandbaby walks in, and his whole disposition changes. Joy is contagious. Go in the most depressing, discouraging, life-sucking environments there is. You don't have to share Jesus. Just share joy. Just share the joy of Jesus. And I promise you, they'll ask you, why are you so joyful? What's up with you? Why are you so happy? And you can tell them, I'm not happy because happiness comes and happiness goes. I got something that's here all the time. It's called the joy of the Lord. That's assignment two. Here's my question. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, how strong are you? We know how to test fishing line. We know how to test garbage bags. We even know how to test steel beams. We also know how to test the joy of the Lord. May 2nd, 2020, his name was Julius Bjornsson from Iceland, world record for deadlifting. Looks like a pretty big dude, right? He lifted 1,104 pounds at Thor's Power Gym in Iceland. He's the world's strongest man to this day. Pretty bowed up dude. If you were going to determine the strength of a gasoline engine, you would test it by its horsepower or by its torque. If you were going to determine the strength of a car battery, you would determine by its cold cranking amps. And if you're going to determine the strength of a Christian, you determine it by their joy in difficult circumstances. So here's my question one last time. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, how strong are you? One last thought and I'll be done. You know, I think I mentioned it last week. Sold insurance, financial planning for a lot of years. One of the heartbreaks, even to this day, is when somebody will have a total loss in their home and their house totally burns to the ground. Or they'll have a total loss with their car and their car is just totaled. But a lot of times, if you're just talking to people, they'll say, did they have insurance? Or did they have good insurance? Is it going to take care of their house and their stuff? Is it going to take care of their car and it's going to replace it? Some of you are looking at me and say, preacher, how am I going to have the joy of the Lord in my circumstances and in my situations? Glad you asked. Because you got the best insurance known to man. You say, what is it? Romans 8, verse 28. What it says? And we know that all things work together, come out together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So therefore, you go through the tire flats. Hey, God, I don't know how you're going to bring anything good out of this, but I know you are because you're my insurance. Hey, God, I'm going through this car accident. I don't know how anything good's going to come out of this, but I know you are because you've given me your promise and you're my insurance. You even go through house losses where the house burns down. And you can be there crying your eyes out at your memories being burned up. But at the same time, you can have the joy of the Lord. Because your joy is not in Allstate or State Farm or in Travelers. Your joy comes from the capital LORD. And the joy of the Lord is your strength.